is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
American economy at Christmas, at New Year. I welcome Elizabeth Peake of The Hill, a columnist of Fox News, a columnist. Liz, a funny thing happened on the way to higher interest rates. The Federal Reserve and its speakers reversed themselves, that is one opinion, and said rather than more hikes in December or the new year, there will be cuts. And they've even named the number. Three cuts is one remark. And then there was hesitation. And then there was redoubling of these remarks because we don't want to over-tighten. So what I find now, Liz, is that a week later, with the smoke clearing a little bit, what is the collective opinion on the street? Are we exhausted by all this changing opinion, or is this the Federal Reserve confused? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, I think investors are confused, but they're also elated, and they're not keeping that letting that confusion keep them from buying stocks. Stocks continue to go up. It's been an extraordinary rally, a very narrowly based rally, to be sure. But it's a pretty remarkable thing the Fed did, in the sense that in 2 weeks, they went from saying, well, rate cuts really aren't even on the horizon, we aren't really even considering that, to penciling in three rate cuts for next year, not as many as, by the way, as now investors are assuming. Now some people have the Fed cutting rates eight times next
eight,
year.
I mean, eight.
That's the outlier, but the consensus, I'm guessing, is around six. You know, so really, what happened in those 2 weeks? I mean, people have pointed out the labor market really didn't change very much. Inflation didn't change very much. So there is this speculation that there's a little bit of political creep getting into these conversations. I don't think that's true. I think that Powell has seen enough evidence of inflation coming down that he felt comfortable talking about a soft landing, talking about cutting rates in the future. But I think it was a huge mistake, John, because investors jumped on that. And there's been considerable conversation about the fact that just that expectation change kind of undoes a lot of what the Fed has been trying to accomplish. In other words, the Fed, rightly or wrongly, and some people think this is a wrong approach, have been trying to slow the economy. What does a jump in stock prices do? It speeds up the economy because, you know, new data shows something like almost 60% of Americans own stocks. We know that when the wealth effect kicks in, when you feel wealthier, when the market goes up, those 60% of Americans are out there shopping. And that's kind of what we're seeing. We're not seeing huge increases in real wages. Yes, they've gone up a little, but not hugely. But people feel better off. Consumer confidence is going to come out a read on that this week. We have not seen a big jump in confidence, but I think you'd have to say the rather striking gains in stock prices is indeed a reflection of more confidence. So I think it's really kind of a weird thing that Jay Powell did. I think they're hopeful of a soft landing. But there are people out there saying, hey, the PCE is still basically 3.5%. We're not at 2%. If they're going to stick with that, there's some possibility here that they're cutting too soon, that inflation numbers could start going back up. But let me just say, I think the inflation, the only variable right now that's worrisome is oil prices. Oil prices are rising because of the turbulence in the Middle East. That will, of course, always be not considered core. It is a volatile measure, but it seeps into everything. So oil is important to watch. But today we got a big number on housing starts. And that, John, is the other big X variable probably in inflation. If we're speculating about inflation 2024, the big question marks are, I think, oil and housing rents. And because housing starts are going up, because mortgage rates are coming down, I think people are feeling more and more comfortable, including probably the Fed, that the rent number is going to be beneficial. So, you know, look, I mean, let's hope they're right. Let's hope that we can get through this period with, at worst, a mild recession. There has always been a recession when the yield curve is inverted. There's always a recession when you have a big tightening of the money supply. So it's pretty you know, pretty much expected we'll have some slowdown next year. But you know what? You and I have been talking about that for over a year, and it hasn't happened.
I tell an anecdote because you so surprised me with that eight cuts in the new year, eight cuts. It was a Churchill anecdote I paraphrase. This is about buying dreadnoughts at the beginning of the 20th century, the new super weapon for the fleet. Churchill was then at the Admiralty, and he said, well, we need four dreadnoughts. However, we know to ask for six because Parliament can be fussy. And what happened is Parliament gave us eight. So they built a bigger fleet, and that's what the eight cuts sound like, because I heard three cuts, and I thought, well, that's generous. Now let's go to what's the economy is telling us about shopping. There are huge discounts going on right now, Liz. They're giving two for one of everything. I have reports, 40%, 50%, 60% reduction at Christmas time. Now, those numbers I remember from the Great Recession of 2009, 2010, the big malls in Westchester County, for example. So has the retail number anticipated all of this? Are we watching the American public, grumpy as it is about inflation, enjoy the benefits of this expected recession? And does that justify all of this language about cuts, that the retail number is moving, but it's not big profit angle. It's just they're cutting prices to move goods.
To move inventory. The latest read I saw on retail spending for the holiday season from the Retail Federation, which makes continual forecasts of that, was that it would be up 3-4%. But that's for the whole holiday season, takes into account, I think, Cyber Monday and Black Friday, which we know was gangbusters. I am hearing, kind of like you're talking about, a slowdown in shopping now, people in the store, traffic is down and so forth. I haven't got any documentation of that. That's just sort of anecdotal. It wouldn't surprise me, because if you really had a big surge in buying, which you did over that Thanksgiving weekend, I think that does take away a little bit from what might be going on now. But look, John, we know that consumer borrowing is up. And again, it's not like real wages have gone through the roof. They have not. So people are feeling comfortable about their job. They're not feeling flush. And with interest rates as high as they are on consumer debt, that's got to be pinching to some degree. So that is really what I think everyone should be looking at, is consumer spending through the end of the year and going into next year. Is it really going to hold up, or will people at some point have to retrench and start paying down those consumer, the credit card loans and so forth that they have out? Because the numbers are pretty staggering. I mean, I saw something today, 62% of Americans say they're living paycheck to paycheck, which sounds horrible. And yet, actually, I think it's about the same as it was last year. There's a big swath of America that is borrowing money to keep spending. I just don't think that can go on forever.
About that 2% ambition that the Federal Reserve mentioned for the last year and a half, is that a moving number, Liz? I mean, can we talk about the average 2% and therefore find 3% acceptable at this moment?
That's a good question. You would think certainly next year, if it gets kind of stuck around 3% and we have an election coming up, I don't think that the Fed is going to feel comfortable torpedoing the economy to get to 2%. There has not been any flexibility in the Fed's position as far as I have seen. I have said for months that I know that I just can't imagine they'll stick to that number as a hard number. So far, they have proved me wrong, but we'll see.
Well, that's what Mary Daly, a Fed governor, I believe she votes, said, that over-tightening is a risk. What does that mean, Liz, over-tightening?
Well, I think there is a risk that they throw the economy into recession. Again, there's a lot of talk about soft landings. An awful lot of companies and their earnings statements and their projections going forward were rather cautious. And that's not a terribly good sign. When managements are beginning to cut back and so forth, then I think you have to get a little nervous about whether the earnings expectations and the growth of the economy is going to hold up.
Elizabeth Peake of The Hill of Fox News. I'm John Battle.